This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Kia ora everybody, welcome back to another episode of Equal Agenda. I'm Hazel.
I'm Martina.
And I'm Jamina.
Today we will talk about the social and biological pressures we face as women when going through our 20s. We wanted to start off with talking about how we have to kind of choose our career as early as like 16, because that's when we start enrolling in university or applying for jobs. Then this new law has been teased about NCA changes. We just feel like teenagers at 14, 15, 16 are often still exploring their interests and strengths, and forcing them to commit to a narrower set of subjects at this age might close doors on their future career options that require different skills or subjects. I feel like there's some real high-stakes decisions made about your career so early, and then potentially this NCA change might force people to make these decisions even earlier.
And it might also make it harder for people to come back from that, depending on like the NCA requirements.
As a 14-year-old, if I kind of had to start thinking about university, I'd go into like anaphylactic shock. Like that would stress me out to make career decisions at like 14, 15, you know? You kind of want to be footloose and fancy free until around year 12 and year 13. That's great. Some people have it already figured out from a young age. But I think I speak on behalf of people who didn't really know what they wanted to do until they were at the University of Waikato portal clicking what they were going to major in.
And there's nothing wrong with not knowing what you want to do. Like, you could look at every single option, and if you want to go into university because your dad is barking up the tree being like, you need to go, you need to do this, don't study if you don't know what you want to do.
Yeah.
Live your life, breathe, there is nothing that should be weighing you down to go live your life. And if you want to go study the thing you actually love, because otherwise life is so hard if you don't.
And I feel like there'll be so many kids at home who are already getting an insane amount of pressure by their parents for a career path. For them to also experience that at school at such a young age can actually have negative mental health implications.
Yeah, precisely. And ultimately, like, a lot of people switch careers throughout their lives, but when you're that young, it does feel like it puts you at a disadvantage if you make probably the wrong choice.
And there is no wrong choice. You could think this is going to be the absolute best decision for you. Like, I knew I wanted to be a high school teacher straight off the bat. I didn't know what I wanted to teach in high school. I just know I wanted to teach high school students. And it wasn't until I was in year 13 that I was like, oh my God, what do I teach these students? I want to be a teacher, but I have to have an undergrad first. And I'm like, what am I going to teach them? And I took history in year 13 and I was like, this is it. And it just clicked. And that's what I'm studying now. And it makes such a big difference when you actually invest your time into loving something.
I feel like we should never be locked into anything at any age, really, career-wise. So I think the real question is why are we doing it to 15-year-olds?
The pathway I really want to focus on is the pressure of relationships and marriage and what that looks like in your 20s. Coming from somebody that's been in a very healthy and stable relationship for the past 3 years, marriage is on the tables for us. Not right now. I don't want to be married right now. It's not in my tunnel vision for the next year. But we have so many people asking us, being like, when's the ring coming? When's the babies coming? Where's the venue? Oh my goodness, how is he going to propose? Like, all this. And the only thing him and I want to talk about is when we're going to Japan at the end of the year. The travels we want to go to.
The camping.
Our camping trip. A year-long.
Tune into episode two.
Yeah, listen back to episode two for my camping trip adventures. I'll let you know at the end of the year, guys. But all of this stuff, like, him and I just want to live. Like, actually just be boyfriend and girlfriend. And it just is bizarre to me that there are so many people pressuring young people to lock in, pick their person right now. We're forcing them to pick a career. We're forcing them to get into relationships. Can we just live?
It's like we just have to keep advancing. And, like, I feel like we've spoken about it a lot between us three, is there's always this go, 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 go do better, be better, read this, run that. Like, and it's just like, can we not just enjoy our young years? Can I have a boyfriend without thinking about marriage and kids? Can I enjoy high school without having to think about what I'm doing for the next rest of my life?
Because we can do that. But you're always going to get those little comments at this stage of our lives where it's like, oh, yeah, when are you finding a boyfriend? When are you getting married? And it's like, what if that isn't necessarily on your table? You know, it's like, even if you know that that's not something that you want to do, those little comments can still mean a lot, especially to younger people when you're still trying to find out more about what you want to do in life.
Well, it gives off the impression that you're not doing enough.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's so much when it comes to, like, you're never doing enough because you got to pick the career, you got to pick the right person. And even though it worked in bloody 1920s where you had to get married at 16, that's not society today. We have so much of our life to go. Pick your person later on. If your person is not in your 50 people year 13 group, that's okay. There are 8 million people that are wandering this earth that could be your potential someone. Billion.
I see my nana like every like 3-4 weeks, and she is on my ass about if I have a boyfriend, and I'm like, nana, this is not my life goal right now. And I understand when she was my age, perhaps it might have been the life goal. We can safely say that you had to be locked in with your man by like 20, because that was societal standard back then. But it's just interesting.
I know what you mean. It's like when I'm talking to relatives, one of their favorite conversation starters is, oh, do you have a boyfriend? And I'm like, oh. As someone who hasn't ever really had one, maybe I'm just being a bit sensitive about it, but I often kind of think like, should I be having a boyfriend right now? Am I behind?
Is the most interesting thing about us as a woman is having a man beside us?
Dude, facts.
Like, why is your first question about us always about if there's a man?
Yeah.
Holding our hand.
I also think it's really interesting once you do get into that stable relationship and you kind of become a duo. Like, it's not like, oh, how are you? It's like, how are you guys doing? Mm. You are not an individual anymore. It's like, oh, it's Martinet and her partner. It's not, oh, Martinet, how's your degree? It's like, oh, Martinet, how's your partner?
Yeah.
How's your relationship going? And it's like, can I not talk about my life, like what I'm doing? Why does he, like, he is heavily involved, but why does he have to be the only conversation starter?
And that transitions nicely into the pressure of not only a relationship, but the pressure of a relationship not failing. Because I feel like having a boyfriend or a husband is such a big deal for society. When a relationship fails, when you break up or divorce, it becomes a really big thing. And I think that's why women stay so long in unhappy relationships, because a failed relationship sits heavier on a woman's shoulder than it does to live an unhappy life.
I think women would rather sit in this, like, mellow, it's all right now. Like, there's nobody asking me questions. I just have to deal with this until I die, because the pressure that society has put on us, this is your for life guy. Like, this is the one for life. You can't change your mind anymore. This is it.
You've already signed the forms. You've already had the child with them. And society tells us that we are incompetent without a male. We've got all these exterior forces pushing on us, telling us we can't do it by ourselves, or we can't do it better than. So we keep this below par man around.
I think it's really interesting talking about the societal social pressures and how that links so closely to our reproductive time clock and the right time to have kids.
Mm.
So the reproductive time clock is your organs in your uterus losing its quality and quantity of the eggs that women hold. I just found a little fact that says here that before you turn 30, you have about 100,000 to 150,000 eggs. by the time you hit 37, you drop down to 25,000 eggs.
That's a lot.
What? That's so much. That's like 75% of your eggs that you lose by the time you're 37. But there are people out there that are actively having kids when they're 35-ish because that's when they're ready in life. So I think it's just really interesting, as we talked about the societal pressures of being in relationships and marriage, and also the pressure of your body. Is your body going to be able to have kids when you want kids?
Yeah.
Mm.
It's sad to think about.
Mid-30s onwards, biologically, women are very unlikely to give birth. So there is a literal timestamp on if you want to have babies, you need to have them before 35.
Yeah, because, like, planes are always going to be available. Plane tickets, you're always going to fly somewhere. Italy's not going to drown, is it? So have your family now when your body can.
Well, Venice is, like...
Venice is what I'm thinking.
I think that's really scary. I think, honestly, personally, I want to have kids one day, but it doesn't feel like something I want to lock myself into in the 20s, you know?
I don't want to have kids, like, before 35, but yeah. I have to. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I feel like I'm still going to be young at 30. I don't want to be actively looking for someone to mate with and spend the rest of my life with. You know, like, every year closer to 35 is every year you have to think about, oh, my God, I have to find someone to marry or be in a relationship with that is going to be the father to my children.
That's such a big commitment. You're two people bringing a child that you're responsible for. Oh, and just to clarify, people have had kids, obviously, like, beyond 35, and they can turn out okay, but just the fact that there's that increased risk and also just, like, the increased chance of not being successful, I think that's really scary to us, but it's also really scary to be constantly thinking about that timer.
Yeah. And I think that's why women can sometimes make rash decisions about having babies really young, or because, like, infertility is so, like, scaremongered. Like, I think there's that whole thing about, you know, if you, like, you might not be able to get pregnant again. So then kids are popping out kids. And I think it's just, I don't know, for something so natural and beautiful, there is a very ugly side to you can't have it after 35, statistically.
So, you know, we have this biological setback that essentially we want to be operating on our own social time clock. We want to be able to set our own pace, but then you have this, constant lingering thought about the fact that it will be harder to have kids the older you are. But then, so do we have to fit, like, our career, our life aspirations, trying to work for that, and also wanting to have kids if we want to, like, all in one decade, essentially?
And obviously it wasn't always an issue, because 50 years ago, having babies at 23 years old was fine. But that was when a woman's only job was to have children, to be a mother. But now that we are allowed to have careers, we now have to fit all of this in the same decade and a half, as you were saying.
I think this quote of society tells women to wait for stability, for love, for clarity. Biology, on the other hand, doesn't wait. Sums it up beautifully. Like,
yeah.
Your body is essentially failing you when you want to go and live your life and not have to feel like having a child. Because children do affect your life. They change your pathway, the way that you're going to go. It's not easier to travel. You maybe have to change your finance situation. And society is like, go and live your life. Go have fun. But your organs are like, hello, I need a baby. What are you doing? So it's really sad that we kind of have to try and juggle everything.
Yeah.
And so no wonder we feel so, as you said, Hazel, early on today, so anxious in your 20s, because which one do you pick? You don't know. You don't know which one to pick.
It's hard to pick. Like, it's hard because you do kind of have to pick, because it's hard to do all of those at once.
Yeah. And I think you could even look at it with different religions and what they believe in. You can't have babies until you're married in some religions. That means this time clock is on an even shorter ticking bomb. Some religions, you're not allowed to have intercourse until you're married. So all of a sudden, like me sitting here as a atheist, people with like other religions experience much more social pressures and their time clock is way shorter.
It creates a very specific experience, doesn't it?
Yeah. And even how abortions are illegal in some countries, some states of America, that quickly determines the rest of your life, doesn't it? Because you can't abort that fetus. So you must have this baby. And all of a sudden, a life of your child being the one and only thought in your head, that starts and your youth is gone.
A lot of people aren't ready to be parents by the time they have to become parents, basically. So it's really scary.
I don't think a lot of people are ready to be parents at 35, but that's your final years.
Yeah, your body is already wrapping up. You already considered a high-risk pregnancy after the age of 30. Yeah. So
it's just so sad because as women, we want careers and we want to travel and we want to spend time creating friendships, and there's this obviously this lingering ticking clock of fertility that we have to worry about. And it's interesting because I often see these like Instagram reels of mothers, you know, handing off their child to the babysitter and going out with their friends for one night. And then you open up the comments and everyone is just slashing her for being an awful mother. And I think that's so interesting that we can't do both when we literally biologically have to. If we want to have a social life, we have no choice as women to balance being mothers and, you know, still keeping social relationships with people and advancing in your career because of how our social time clock and our reproductive time clock travels. But when we do this, we are criticized heavily by the media, other women, which is a sad part, and men.
I think it's interesting because, like, obviously with a childbirth, that's usually the woman who takes the brunt of that, but in terms of parenting, that's also the expectation, like, that having a child is more of a commitment to the woman than it is to the man. And it's like if there's a man in the relationship, and it's like it should be more equal than that, because, you know, you could argue that having both parents be held equally responsible for parenting their child might actually help to ease the workload and, you know, help us to potentially juggle motherhood and also the other aspects of our life as younger women easier, you know?
Well, it does show, doesn't it, that we're still rooted in traditional ideas of mothers are mothers and they take the whole load of being a mother and the man goes out and comes back from work each day. But obviously that doesn't happen anymore. You know, we're both working, but there's still this expected idea that women must do it all.
Well, there's the, like, the husband's babysitting the child rather than, like, taking care of his own child. I've seen so much of that being like, oh, you're such a good dad when they take them to the park. But then it's like, oh, your baby's screaming when the woman takes them to the park. It's like, yeah. What is up with the double standards? It took two people to have this child.
Yeah.
It takes two people to raise this child.
And you can even, I don't know if you guys watch Love Island, but you can see it on Love Island. There's always an episode every season where they bring out the, like, fake crying babies. And it's all the women on the show that, you know, are with it 24/7, or what we see, sorry, making assumptions. And it's the boys that are sitting there, laying by the pool, like, walking around holding it by its ankle. And it's just such a reflection of there's a different understanding of responsibility for a child.
Yeah, and people blame it on the, like, you have a maternal feeling. It's natural, comes naturally to you. It doesn't naturally come to a guy.
Like, that's just no gender.
You guys are socializing men into being less responsible when, with the current situation, it would really do all of us good if the commitment of parenthood, of good parenthood, to be around for your child should be balanced between the two people bringing the child into this world.
I have a really good example of that. So I just worked the Women's Lifestyle Expo, and mother and a father and two children, one barely walking, the other one a pushchair, they came up to me and I was scanning tickets. And this lady, she pulled out the one ticket. And I was like, well, if you both want to get in, you're going to need two tickets. And she was like, oh, damn, okay. So the husband sits on the bench outside. This is a women's expo, by the way. The husband sits on the bench outside and he asks the wife to take the two kids into the women's expo. Can you imagine? You're a woman. You're excited to go to this women's expo. You have to drag around one toddler that's basically running laps around the whole place and also push a pushchair. And your husband is going to sit on his phone outside. And I feel like that's such a good example of, like,
falling under the stereotype of mothers always need to be with the babies.
Yeah.
And just kind of being passive as a father.
Yeah, like you're going to make her try to navigate this expo. We've got 1 meter in between these stalls and you're trying to navigate a toddler and a big fat pushchair. And your husband's sitting outside on the couch scrolling through Instagram reels. And I think it's just such a good example.
Like, if this is a women's expo that your wife wants to go to, if the event is something that one parent is particularly interested in, I think it's fair for the other parent to be taking care of the kid. Doesn't that also foster a healthier relationship?
Well, it's just helping each other out and taking off the load. If we wanted to play even Stevens, then one kid each then. Like, I don't know. And she lasted like 10 minutes in there, max.
Gosh.
I know. We do have to acknowledge this is all opinion-based. Yeah. We don't live the life of a mother and we don't live a life of the woman 100 years ago.
It really comes down to an issue with the way society still continues to view women, even as we've progressed in a lot of ways, you know? A lot of these expectations of our life clock are deeply ingrained into our societal views because, as we had mentioned before, we still view women with that same kind of expectation that you will be mothers and you will be in charge of raising your kid entirely. But at the same time, we are also now going to work more often than ever. And there's so many more things that we have the agency and autonomy to do. And I mean, yeah, you can just not have a kid, of course, but some of us do want to have a kid. And it's like, we shouldn't have to sacrifice some aspirations because we're expected to do it all in the span of 10 years, because that's a very short time.
It is.
I really hope that one day there are women that will speak out about this biological time clock and the societal pressures and hopefully not feel so quiet about it, because I feel like not many people talk about the pressure of having to have a baby because your organs are failing.
Yeah.
So I really hope that there might be some scientific research that comes out that can maybe allow our bodies to keep developing at a high quality rate so that we can have kids later on in life and we can do our career things and spread it out throughout 20, 30 years rather than 5 to 10.
Yeah.
Because it's unrealistic right now.
Yeah. Well, when you see lots of people choosing between a relationship or a career or children, you know, sometimes it feels like you kind of have to put one on the back burner or you might have to sacrifice one entirely, especially when you're not financially stable. Yeah. You know, a responsible person doesn't have children when they can't afford to have children. And that means you need a job and sometimes you can get so far in your career, it's like, well, was it a good time to stop now?
Mm.
I wouldn't be surprised if that ends up happening to me, because I'm so excited to start working and start building up in my career. And at some point, because I want to have children, I know that I'm going to have to pause that and have a baby. Mm. I feel like 30 to 35 is the middle of your life in a way. When you have to have kids, when you are statistically not going to be able to conceive, that is the middle of your life.
Why are we running out of time in the middle of our life?
It's such an awkward time. Like, if you told me 40 is the last moment you can have kids, I would have been like, you know what? I'm going to pipe down and I'm going to be okay with that.
Yeah, it's like, I would rather enjoy my time first before having kids rather than, like, have kids and then only then kind of earn your reward time, you know?
Yeah.
It kind of feels unfair to my kids as well to just be, like, constantly waiting on, like, them to grow up. Because you don't know what's going to happen.
No.
You really don't. And, like, your kids are their own person. You don't know what's going to happen. You can't decide when they decide that, oh, yeah, I'm, like, fine now.
I think even if you did have kids first, then live life later, I don't even think you'd be living life to the full extent as if you were if you did life first and then kids later.
Like, it's just different for everyone, yeah. Ultimately, and it's, yeah, it just sucks.
But we do have to acknowledge that some women are driven to be mothers, and
some people are very motivated to, like, become a mother, and that's kind of the path that they want in life.
That is their career. That's what they want to do.
And that's okay.
That's, you know, when they think of the bluest sky and the most perfect rainbow, they think about being a mother, whereas for me, it's being successful businesswoman. Everything from 25 to 35 is happening in a woman's life. The quality of their eggs are running out, they're picking up in their career. That's when you've finally, for a lot of people, got enough money to actually travel the world. So what we're trying to say is, if you do want children and a career and to travel, it all has to happen within the same 10 years, and actually things have to be sacrificed, and that sucks.
It does.
But for now, we're Superman.
Hell yeah. The best we can do is to just do what feels right for us and hopefully deal with the fact that our individual paces might not necessarily match the social clock. Yeah. We can do this, girls.
Yeah.
We can do this, everyone.
Thanks so much for joining us.
We'll
see you next
week. Bye.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.